So maybe one of you's missing right now.
What's going on here?
What's happening?
What's going on? How are we looking? We got signal?
Looking fabulous.
Yes.
Set the controls for the heart of the sun.
We're hot. Hot pastrami sandwiches.
Seven dwarves sifting sand.
Looking for a hot pastrami pussy.
I prefer brisket.
Gentlemen's prefer blondes.
Gentlemen's choice vodka.
I think we're up and rolling.
So we are. We're up.
As a matter of fact, I'm not actually going to edit that. That's going to be the start of the show.
Let's do
this
it.
Week. That sound check.
Let's just jump right in.
Here we are. The All live right. and direct on the Dangerous Darren Show right here on the Adobe.
Hold on. Let's make some noise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
In case everyone's wondering where we are, TS, we got to tell them where we are. We are at Johnny's Bar, 5006 York Boulevard in Highland Park, gorgeous Los Angeles.
Beautiful.
Which is just a little bit east of Glendale and a little bit west of Pasadena.
We're in Northeast LA.
Yep.
Beautiful Highland
Park. Downtown. This was a bar that's been around. It's like one of the LA staples. It's been around since the like 20s or 30s. It's been here forever. It's gone through a number of owners, but the general vibe of the bar has remained the same. It's like an old LA dive bar, but it's one of the better ones in the city. It's called Johnny's Bar. And hit them up on Facebook. Just type in Johnny's Bar. It'll come right up. Or on Instagram, it's Johnny's Bar 90042. They got tons of posts. And it's a cool bar to hang out and have a drink.
Yeah.
I like it. Times. You like it. And we know people that work here. We're part of the Johnny's family. And TS, thanks for being on the show, as always. You look handsome and dapper.
Well, thank you.
Have you been working out?
Of course.
Yeah?
Non-stop.
Non-stop. You might want to switch gyms.
It's going to be.
I'm kidding. I fucking busted your job.
Man.
No, you look great. Thanks for coming on. And what are we drinking? This is kind of nothing fancy about this week's drinks.
No, we're in Johnny's Highland Park. It's Tallboy Tuesday. Going up on a Tallboy Tuesday.
Yep.
And we're drinking some Tallboys.
Tallboy Tuesday. I got Tecate. You have Schlitz.
Schlitz.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
To Johnny's Bar in Highland Park, Los Angeles.
Good times.
We got a great show, TS. We have drummer for the Bare Naked Ladies, Tyler Stewart, who is a friend of mine, a very comedic guy, very funny guy, great drummer. Bare Naked Ladies are no strangers to comedy. They are a Canadian band that have been doing it forever, and they're just good dudes. And me and Tyler had a show in Toronto called Sport Beats, where we would interview musicians about sports and athletes about music. And
I remember that. It was interesting.
And we got music from Goldfinger. We're going to play the closing song that you hear on the podcast. It's not called Fuck LA. It's called The City with Two Faces, but everyone knows it as Fuck LA. We're going to play that in its entirety. And we also might get to Victory Band. What are they called again?
Shattered Sun.
If we have time. So let's quit fucking around.
All right, let's get to it. Get down to the meat.
Let's get right to the meat and potatoes of the show. How was your weekend? What did you do last weekend?
Did you do your
girl?
Oh yeah, of course. in between, watch a little NASCAR, chill in.
You watched that race?
Yeah, it's the Daytona 500. What else am I supposed to do on a Sunday now that football's over?
That's a good point. There's hockey.
There's like one game and it's over at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's like Florida and Nashville.
Yeah.
Who cares?
A real barn burner.
That was a pretty good race. It was like a foot or something or half a foot.
Yeah. It was inches.
Inches, really. It's like crazy finish there at NASCAR. What's going on in the world? Goldfinger's 20th anniversary is this coming Saturday.
Has it been that long?
And of the release of our self-titled record on February 27th, 1996. Wow. That long ago, 20 years since that self-titled record was released on Mojo/Universal Records. And it was. You were there. You were thanked on the record.
I was there.
You were there during the recording. You were there during the rehearsals. The glory days of Goldfinger. You were there for the whole thing. And I have a little documentary I'm releasing coming up. This Saturday, I'm going to have some rare interviews with John and Charlie and Simon and myself, and it's just going to be a little thing I'm going to put together to give homage to Goldfinger's self-titled record. That's why we're playing The City With Two Faces, I believe, because got to give homage to this, one of the songs that are on that record. And that's clearly the most punk of the songs that are on that self-titled Goldfinger record.
Are you releasing this documentary this Saturday, or is this just
this Saturday?
A
I'm going to put it on YouTube.
Oh, it's going out full blown.
Yep.
It's happening.
Yep.
This is happening.
It's going to be really cool. Something, I mean, I have to do something. We're not playing a show. We're not getting together for various reasons. So I just want to do this documentary and put it out and give homage to that great record that was released 20 years ago this Saturday.
It's a milestone. You have to mark it.
It was a good record. I had a lot of fun making it. T.S., The Price is Right have their thing called, it's called Dream Car Week, where they're giving away these like insane like Aston Martins and Teslas and really expensive BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes. Well, this lady won a Aston Martin the other day, and you see the footage, she went bananas. It was like $150,000 or $180,000 car. She won this car. Like, it's outrageous.
So this lady is going to go back to like Shreveport, Louisiana.
No, she's from the Bay Area.
Really?
Yeah, San Francisco.
I don't believe that for a second.
But she's probably okay. From Shreveport. You're
so,
right.
Okay, yeah. So she's going to go back to Shreveport, Louisiana with her Aston Martin.
Well, she has to pay taxes
and drive it to Walmart.
What are the taxes on that?
I would just go with the, oh, yeah, I would love a fry.
Oh, we got some fries?
We got fries.
Are those,
crispy
nice.
Crinkle
lattice
cuts.
Fries.
Yeah, awesome.
Wow, that's nice. Is this the first time we've ever enjoyed food on the show?
I think so.
Wow. Thanks, Johnny's Bar. Amazing. I'm double dipping, Chess.
Oh, man.
I know I shouldn't double dip, but I'm going to do it. Mm. Okay, nice. Yeah, beautiful. So she won the Aston Martin. Really cool. You have a Price is Right story, don't you?
I do. When I first moved to L.A., I went to the Prices. We went to get on the Price is Right with my roommate, Dave and Andrea. And I took turns with Dave holding our place in line. They actually let you in line a lot closer. We took turns going out to the car and smoking up.
So, right, of course.
By the time they interview you before you go in, to see how you're going to react on camera. So, obviously, by the time it got to my interview, I was I couldn't react very well. So I didn't get picked to actually go on. But there are people waiting in line. There's like the dude with the military uniform waiting. There's like the whole crew of Midwestern ladies wearing Bob Barker shirts. Bob Barker was actually on back then.
Now wow.
No, it's Drew
Legendary.
Carey. Oh, yeah. So we went on and went through the whole experience, but didn't get to go actually in the lineup.
But you didn't get in.
I didn't get
did
in.
Did your friends get in?
We all got into the show, but we didn't get on.
You weren't pickable.
We weren't pickable. Yeah, we definitely weren't.
You were just there to observe.
We weren't. Definitely weren't one of their demographics. I wasn't in the military. A
you
college
probably
kid
smelled like weed too. I mean, they probably were like, "Oh, okay, TSO." Sniff, sniff, sniff. Yeah, yeah, we're going to not pick you.
I still have my name tag.
You do?
Yeah.
I got to see it.
Yeah, I definitely didn't get picked.
If you ever check for Goldfinger again, you have to wear that tag, okay? Just heads up.
Oh, awesome.
You check for Goldfinger this October at the It's Not Dead, and there might be another show coming up, so if
I got
to
find the name tag and wear it.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. She won a car. What else is going on? Ferris Fest coming to Chicago. It marks the 30th anniversary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Pretty crazy,
hey,
right?
Are you going to eat all those fries?
You going to eat that?
JC's here digging into our fries, which is fine. I don't mind. It's a community show. It's a community show. We can share the love.
So what's going on with Ferris Fest?
Let me find the story. Give me a second. It is right here. Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1986. And it was the 30th anniversary. They're doing a big show or a big festival in Chicago. And it's going to be called Ferris Fest. It marks the 30th anniversary of the 80s favorite Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And it's scheduled for May 20th, 21st, and 22nd in and around Chicago. The 1986 John Hughes film stars Matthew Broderick as a charming, resourceful high school student who skips school, lead his girlfriend, his reluctant best friend on a lively tour of the Windy City. If you haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, there might be something wrong with your head. Everyone's seen it. It's like E.T. or Star Wars. Everyone has seen it at least once.
I saw that movie in the theater, and as a side note, the principal lives in my neighborhood currently.
Really?
I've seen him in Trader Joe's.
Has he ever done that? T.S. T.S.
No, that was the teacher.
Bueller.
That was
Bueller.
That was the principal.
Oh, the principal. Man, the principal was the guy that got shit on for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a lot of fun. If I lived anywhere near the Chicago area, I'd be for sure go to Ferris Fest. Looks like a lot of fun. What else is going on? Here's something interesting. I read this report online that falling in love is distractive to the brain. It's a part of it really messes with your brain chemistry and makes you less effective as a human being. It affects certain areas of your brain that affect fear, emotion, negative emotions, and the frontal lobe, which affects judgment. So when you fall in love, you're really lesser of a human being and not more of a human being. you're making bad decisions, basically.
Well, is it because all of that dopamine and adrenaline is pumping through your brain and you can't think clearly, but maybe you're functioning at a higher level because all those... all that dopamine, adrenaline, what other chemicals?
Yeah, the other love chemicals.
Serotonin.
Yeah, they're all going through your brain. But they're also making you like react. They're making you make poor judgments based because you love this person. So you would do something you would normally do, or you would react in a way you wouldn't normally react, or you wouldn't react to fear in a normal situation that would save you from trouble because you're in love.
Oh, I'm in love.
So love doesn't really exist. It's just a chemical reaction in the brain. Isn't that?
Well, you can break down everything to chemical reactions in your brain.
So yeah, I nothing, guess.
So it's just more of a concept.
Sex is a chemical reaction in the brain and your penis.
And it's also more mechanical. I enjoy the mechanics.
I enjoy the mechanics of sex as well. And what's going on? Here's a funny little story. MasterCard. The credit card company everyone knows and loves or not doesn't love is using selfies for payment.
What do you mean, like facial recognition?
Recognition? Yep. Something like that. I got the story right here. Give me a second.
What, facial? How many times can I say facial? Facial recognition for selfies and your credit card. I don't believe it, man. I'm not really backing that whole concept.
You're not backing it?
No, not at all.
MasterCard wants to ditch the old-fashioned password and use selfies to approve online purchases. It goes on to say the company announced it is launching a new mobile technology that will allow customers to authenticate their online purchases using selfies or fingerprints. The technology will be rolled out by big banks in the U.S., Canada, U.K., and some European countries over the next few months. Selfies.
Really?
Hey, I want to buy that dress. Oh, look at me at Macy's. Click. Approved.
It'll probably stop fraud because I didn't take a selfie of me wearing that dress. And these Calvin Klein chonies. Somebody else bought that.
Hey, if a selfie makes the credit card a little more secure, then I'm all about it because I just had some fraud befall me recently. Like I told you a few weeks ago, and it was a pain in the fucking... I'm still dealing with it. I'm still getting these letters from Bank of America and these emails and texts from Bank of America, even though I'm in the clear by now, but it's just a pain in the ass. What's going on with Did You Know? Let me start this week because you started last week. Did You Know? A very popular segment here on the Dangerous Darren Show. Our thanks out again to the good people at Adobe Radio Network for letting us have our amazing podcast. This week's Did You Know? Is a very interesting one about public restrooms. Everyone has gone to a public restroom. Everyone has used one. And in the case of an emergency or at a sporting event or a concert, you really have no choice. But did you know, TS, and the people listening, covering the toilet seat isn't helping you very much at all. Aside from one flush causing a nasty mist that sprays onto nearly every part of the seat cover, your kitchen cutting board contains 200 times more fecal matter than your dish sponge contains more than 2,000 times more bacteria than a public toilet seat. So
that
the moral of the story
disgusting. Is
A,
okay.
Public toilet seats are fine and you should lick them
and
whenever possible.
And why bother even washing your fucking hands?
Washing your hands?
Why even bother?
Well, that's different. Because I've gone to the bathroom and I've actually pulled my dick out and to piss without touching my dick at
which
all.
Which is gross. Without touching it?
Without touching it finds the whole, like I'm half hard.
Wiggle it out.
No, I'm half, like I got a little a piss boner.
Okay.
And I'll just wiggle it out. And then I'll do my business right into the urinal, and then kind of wiggle it back in.
Okay.
And then zip it back up, and no cock has been touched. And I won't wash
that's
my hands.
That's an incredible muscle control.
It's something I developed over the years, but if I poop in a public restroom, I'm for sure washing my hands.
Okay, that's great. Well, did you know that Andre the Giant died in a hotel room in Paris? He was in Paris to attend his father's funeral.
Oh, my God. I knew he died. I didn't know he died in Paris. And I didn't know that he was there to attend his father's funeral?
Yeah. It's kind of heavy.
How did he die again?
Was he just gigantism?
He was just too big?
He was a big dude. Probably suffered multiple problems. You know, he was in the WWF. Those guys partied, did steroids, and all kinds of drugs, allegedly. Oh, yeah. So, you know.
Wow. That's interesting. Huh. That's sad.
It is.
Because he seemed like terrible. A nice, likable guy.
He was.
And he was like a gentle giant. I wonder how big his dick was. Andre the Giant.
Well, he was like twice the size of an average human. So
let's say his dick was average size.
It was average
size. It must have been mammoth.
So what's average size? Six inches?
Six inches, 7 inches, 6.5, something like that. But let's say it was average for him. That must have been like a baby's arm holding a small apple.
Okay, but because he's such a big guy, did it look small?
What if it was big? Like, what if he was on the bigger side? It really must have been like a human arm. Like a forearm, like a human forearm, like my forearm, T.S. Like, it probably was that big.
And
his cock head must have been like the size of my fist.
Holding
like,
a grapefruit.
That's his cock.
It was a human hand holding a grapefruit.
He never, ever got laid. Or he fucked women with gigantic vaginas.
There's somebody out there for everybody.
I mean, women must have seen him and been like, oh, hell no. I want no part of that. And he's like, I'm Andre the Giant. And he's like, oh, no, I just, no. No, maybe I'll jerk you off, maybe.
It's like, I was in The Princess Bride.
I'm Andre the Giant. I paid you hard-earned money. I doubled your salary or whatever. Like, oh, look, this isn't going to happen. I want anal. Oh, hell no. You want to kill me?
Hell no.
that's manslaughter. Anyway, let's get to the interview with the drummer of the Bare Naked Ladies, a man named Tyler Stewart. If you haven't heard of this band and you're living in a cave, they just write hits. If you don't like them, then, well, that's your prerogative, but I do, and they're my friends, and Tyler's my buddy. He's really funny. Check him out. Tyler Stewart from the Bare Naked Ladies right here on the Dangerous Darren Show. On the phone here at the Dangerous Darren Show on the Adobe Radio Network with my good friend, Tyler Stewart, drummer from the Canadian band, The Bare Naked Ladies. Tyler, my friend, what's going on?
Well, Dangerous Darren. Now, I've heard that about you in the past. However, when we did a radio show together in Toronto, I never felt a sense of danger. There was always lots of laughs and lots of ridiculous innuendo and banter flying around, but danger, no.
Well, I have two sides to me. I'm a Gemini, and there's a professional side to me that likes to get the job done, whether it's radio or drumming or producing. And then there's a dangerous side of me that will, when you're not looking, I will duct tape you in your bunk and scream fire. Which I've done.
I will be sure to have the crew hide the duct tape if you're ever around.
I actually did that, Tom. I duct taped one of our crew guys in his bunk with gaff tape, two rolls, and I had an air horn and I on a day off, and I let it loose and I screamed fire because this guy was petrified of dying in the bus, whether it was a crash or a fire. And he eventually found his way out of the bunk and was so pissed at me.
I guess. Well, hopefully you eventually found the humor in that situation because you probably scared the living daylights out of him.
I did. He actually told me he actually thought he was going to die and he made peace with God.
that's a rather forced peace, I believe. But that's good. That's good.
So I'm not
good
as
folks now, I guess.
I'm not as dangerous as one might think getting in my old age. Tyler, tell me, in Bare Naked Ladies, has there been any nicknames that they've bestowed upon you over the years?
Well, my penchant sometimes for blurting things out before thinking about them They've taken my initials, T.S., Tyler Stewart, and sometimes call me Tourette Syndrome. But, you know, for that, other than that, not really. I think just Ty or Tyler, it says it all. I had one of those names, Darren, that back in the day wasn't very popular, but then around like the mid-90s, soap opera characters started to be called Tyler. You know, you had Tyler the Creator later on and stuff. It's a more popular name now, but when I was young, I was the only Tyler around. So I didn't need a nickname.
Yeah, it was just Tyler. That was your own nickname.
Yeah, exactly. Built in. Of course, you know, in the day it was, I'll marry Tyler Moore. That's the only other Tyler. Hey, Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, great, thanks. That's really creative. Thank you.
The reason why I asked is because I have a pretty cool nickname, Dangerous Darren, and I wanted to know if you had one. And drummers, as you know, and I have a lot of drummers on the Dangerous Darren show because I'm, you know, got a lot of love for them. Drummers are kind of like, they get hazed a lot and they get picked on. And we're like the redheaded stepchild of the band, but, you know, funny enough, we're the most important member of the band. And I think we're coming into an era now, Tyler, that drummers are getting a lot more respect. Would you agree?
I'd agree with that, definitely. And, well, you're seeing less drummers choking on their vomit or somebody's vomit. You know, you're seeing a little, you know, an emergence of drummers and songwriters and singers as well, getting out from behind the kit. You know, guys like Dave Grohl, you know, stepping out and giving us a good name. I think also maybe there's something to be said for a man these days who gets his aggressions and frustrations out, not by beating other people, but by beating an instrument. So, you know, there's been a reassessment of our somewhat more animalistic tendencies into, hey, this is actually probably pretty healthy.
It's funny, I can't name another instrument that's beaten. Can you? Besides drums and percussion?
Well, unless you're Pete Townshend's guitar being smashed in the 1960s on stage. No, absolutely. I guess not. It's all drums all the time.
Or Keith Moon putting dynamite in his kick drum.
Oh, yeah, and making... I think Townshend went deaf from that, didn't he?
Partially, yeah.
Partially deaf in one ear. Jesus. That's a lot to live with.
You know, Keith
inflicting.
It should have been dangerous. It should have been Dangerous Keith.
Yeah, or Crazy Keith. I think.
Yeah. Talking to Tyler Stewart, drummer for the Bare Naked Ladies. They've been a band since around, I don't know, 88 or so. And your Gordon record came out in 92. I remember vividly seeing you guys around that time and falling in love with your uniqueness and your incredible musicianship and your incredible songwriting. Do you ever take a second, Tyler, and look back over the years, all the records you released and singles and Junos and all the awards and accolades that you massed together and said, and ever just say to yourself, wow, Bare Naked Ladies, what a roller coaster ride we've been on and still are on to this day.
Definitely, Darren. I look back and, you know, when I have a moment, usually it's with astonishment when you realize that I've indeed been in this band for 25 years. And, you know, we've done so much traveling, so much playing, recorded so many songs. One thing I try to do now more than I ever did before in the past is to enjoy it and to enjoy the experience while I'm in it. Well, while I'm on stage rocking out for thousands of people, like really noticing it going, yeah, this, I'm actually living my dream. I think in the early days, because, you know, you're a younger man, you've got all kinds of other things you're thinking about. Also the sheer sort of intensity of the touring and the work, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, et cetera. I think, you know, you get so exhausted and you get so focused on the task at hand that you don't really enjoy it. So I really make a point now of realizing that, hey, this is great. This is a great job. I'm really enjoying what I do. And damn, I get to play music for a living and make people happy. So I appreciate it more now than I ever did before.
Right, right. And it's good to have that perspective to look back on where you were in 88 and where you are now. And like you said, get on the stage, hit the drums, have a lot of fun, and just really appreciate it. Because when you were younger, like you said, it was like, oh, whirlwind, and we're having this fun and going here and going there. But now as we get a little more mature, we're sitting back on our instruments and really soaking it in and taking the actual performance as payment as well. It's
been good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I you know, for me, I don't get paid to be up on stage and rock out and do this. I get paid for waiting around in airports, sleeping in hotel rooms and eating crappy food that I didn't make. That's my pay right there. I can be paid to do that. You know, but the actual experience. The other thing is, Darren, you know, my bandmates are awesome, and you know, I feel truly honored to work with these guys because they're amazing musicians and amazing people, and that's only gotten stronger over the years. You know, the bond between the four of us now, and you know, I'm really blessed in that department as well to have such a great band.
Yeah, you definitely are. They're good human beings. They're good guys. They're good Canadian folks. I might add that as well. And Tyler, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the Big Bang Theory. Would you say that is in the top three of the best decisions the Bare Naked Ladies ever made?
I would have to say so, definitely. And, you know, now that, you know, it's been on the air for close to 10 years and, you know, we've had such a great association with the producers and the actors and the show in general, it's an amazing thing. And here's a little funny story for you. And it shows sometimes that you're, you absolutely have no idea what you're talking about. And of course, this refers to yours truly. When we were first pitched that song, Darren, we were in LA and we were playing a show at the Greek Theater, and the producers of that show saw us do one of Bare Naked Ladies' kind of famous improvisations that we do between songs. And, you know, we just make up a song about anything random. Ed had happened to be reading a book called The Big Bang by a guy named Simon Singh. So his improv rap kind of thing contained a whole bunch of stuff about, you know, the creation of the universe and expansion and fractals and kinds of weird stuff. And the guys were in the audience. Bill Prady and Chuck Lorre were in the audience, and they said, we got to get these guys to write the theme song. So cut to about 4 months later when we're off the road, and, you know, I get like 2 weeks at my cottage. Ed calls and says, we got to record this song for the Big Bang Theory. They want it tomorrow. And I was 3 days into my vacation, and my cottage is a bit far away from downtown Toronto. So I said, oh, man, you know, I don't really care about this show. I'd only seen a pilot. The characters weren't developed yet. It was a three-camera sitcom shoot. I thought, nah, this is going to go nowhere. I don't really care. So I said, Ed, you know what? You play the drums, man. I don't even care. I don't want to leave my cottage. And Ed was like, Ty, I've been talking to these guys for weeks. You know, they're really cool, and this is a good opportunity for us. I mean, I said, you know, what if the show's a big hit? I'm like, I just don't want to leave my cottage. I don't want to drive 4 hours. I just got into my vacation spot. He goes, Tyler, I need you. I was like, okay, Ed, but this show better be the next frickin' Seinfeld. And I hung up.
So when you drove to Toronto, and you got behind the kit and you laid it down, did you get right back in your car and drive up north?
I did. I actually came in late. I played my ass off because it's a great song, right? But, you know, and I also was kind of a little bit mad. I was like, you want fucking rock and drums? Here you go, man. And anyway, so cut to 10 years later, and it's not only it's the next freaking Seinfeld, it's bigger than Seinfeld, on all over the world all the time. And, of course, the guys in the band don't resist giving me serious ribbing about that. Anytime I ask them to do something, I say, hey, guys, I'm having a dinner party. Want to come over? I'm making dinner. And they go, yeah, we'll come. But it better be the next frickin' Seinfeld. things like that. I just say, won't let it go. And they shouldn't, because I was totally wrong. And it's pretty hilarious now to look back on that and knowing that I almost, you know, didn't show up for the session.
No, you should have said, I'm at my cottage. Call Pfeiffer.
Yeah, I didn't know you then, Darren, man. You would have had the gig.
Damn it! But it would have been amazing. I guess is it the same way when they call you and go, hey, we got a bunch of songs, we're going to make a new record. Well, it better be the next Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, being so colossally wrong about something is a humbling experience, because sometimes, you know, also when you step out of your comfort zone, like getting an offer like that, we've always had friends in LA who've been in the, you know, entertainment or TV or comedy business, whatever, movie business. And when you get an opportunity to cross over and work with those people, it's such an honor. And it's a little bit unknown. Sometimes it's a little out of your comfort zone, but it could be a fantastic opportunity if you say yes.
Well, I think from hearing that story, Tyler, I think I have a really good nickname for you now that you might be able to move forward in the band. Obviously, talk amongst your team. Trepidatious Tyler.
Trepidatious. Now, that's the old me, not anymore. Now I know what to say no to. But, when a certain giant donut chain in Canada ask you to do a jingle for their campaign, you have to look at it with a grain of salt and go, do we really need to do that? Well, or you just jump right in and, you know, see the dollar signs flashing before your eyes. But I think the main thing is that, you know, it's nice to be given the opportunity to do any of these things. And it's also, at this point, 25 years in, it's nice to be able to say no.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to Tyler Stewart from the Bare Naked Ladies. Before I let you go, Tyler, my friend, Bare Naked Ladies right now, 2016, what's on deck?
Well, we're about to go out on tour in the summer again for our last Summer on Earth installment number 4. Turns out that the Mayans were not correct, that we do indeed keep having summers. The world has not ended in 2012 like they said it would. So we're having another last Summer on Earth tour this summer with a couple of 80s stalwarts, which is very interesting. We're on tour with Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and Howard Jones. So there's going to be some synth pop accompanying Bare Naked Ladies this summer.
Isn't that I Touched You Once, I Touched You Twice? Is that OMG?
That's right.
OMD?
Yes, that's right.
And what is love? Is that the song?
Yeah. Don't crack up, bend your brain. Yeah, that's, Howard Jones. It should be very interesting. A couple of acts that's synonymous with the charts in the 80s from Britain. And, your Bare Naked Ladies Canadian high tempo, high energy pop humor music. So it's interesting. What a combo.
Yeah.
Is going to happen this summer.
Well, I'm sure when you get here to the Greek, I'm sure I'll touch you once, I'll touch you twice, and I wouldn't let go at any price. And I'm looking forward to sharing the love again with you and your bandmates when you come to the Greek. I believe that's the venue of choice here in Los Angeles. And I've known you for a long time now, and I consider you a good friend. We always have this incredible chemistry. We had our radio show for a little while at TSN Radio there in Toronto, and it was a blast to do with you. And I'm so happy for you, all your success. You're a friend, and I'll see you when you get to Los Angeles, buddy.
Okay, Darren, we'll see you there. And remember, things can only get better. Whoa, 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 whoa.
That is fucking brilliant. Oh my God, I love it.
There you go, folks. The interview with the drummer of the Bare Naked Ladies right here on the Dangerous Darren Show. His name is Tyler Stewart. A very funny guy, an incredible drummer, and a very good friend of mine. Dangerous Darren Show is being recorded live right here at Johnny's Bar in Highland Park section of Los Angeles. The address, if you ever want to come check it out, and you should, is 5006 York Boulevard. Hit him up on Instagram, Johnny's Bar 90042. We love it here.
We love it.
We're part of the family of Johnny's Bar, and it's good stuff. Right?
You know, some notable people in Highland Park.
Oh, you got some Highland Park facts?
I've got some Highland Park facts.
I'm impressed.
We're near Occidental College.
Okay.
And there's some notable alumni from Occidental College.
I'm all ears.
You may know him, Barack Obama.
Really?
Yes.
He went to school here?
He went to school in Highland Park.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
We have some others. Ben Affleck.
Never heard of him.
Luke Wilson.
Never heard of him either.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Of course I have. That's amazing.
Well, Barack Obama has graced the presence of Highland Park.
He probably came to Johnny's.
He probably did.
And had a drink here.
Probably did.
He should have a plaque at the bar where Barack Obama sat.
The President of the United States is graced this area.
Wow.
He actually did a podcast with somebody in the area.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a pretty cool president.
He is.
Like he's like Clinton. Clinton was cool as fuck. Obama, cool as fuck.
Okay.
Next president better be cool as fuck.
Okay, by the time we get a new president, we can interview the next president. That's our goal.
We should probably interview Barack because he'll be.
We'll interview him on his way out, and then we'll interview the next guy on the way in.
Well, he'll probably have more time when he's not president to do little things like the Dangerous Darren show.
Yeah,
it'd be great to have him on. It'd be unbelievable.
Maybe we can go
He's got a few Twitter followers. Not as much as Bieber, but he's got a few.
He's got a few.
Hey, I want to know what's going on in the world of weed. So if you want to know what's going on in the world of marijuana and marijuana legislation and marijuana news or quote-unquote weed news, you check out my buddy, TS. And then you also check out this musical masterpiece. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news. Ah, a classic written by the best songwriter of all time, moi. TS? It's all you, buddy. What do you got going on in the world of marijuana news?
Today's weed news is that, marijuana is not just for humans anymore.
Not for heathens?
Humans.
Oh, humans.
Humans.
I just said heathens.
Well,
sinners!
There is a CBD dog treat is a new product, medical marijuana for dogs.
This is the first time animals. I'm hearing this.
What? It's a product called Treatables. It's Treatables. It's a superfood wellness treat infused with a proprietary blend of CBD and other non-psychoactive cannabinoids derived from medical marijuana. Comes in two flavors, pumpkin and blueberry.
Because dogs love pumpkin.
But you know what? Pumpkin is really good for dogs.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's good for their
digestive system.
And they really love it. It's good to facilitate calm and balance. It's good for dogs with arthritis, hip problems, joint pain, old age, cancer, anxiety. You know, you might have to crate your dog after a surgery, and they don't want to be in the crate. They're, like, ready to roll, so you need to, like, chill them out, and it takes care of crate anxiety.
How do you know? This is a serious question. How do you know what dosage to give a dog, number one? And number two, how do you know what dosage to give different breeds of dogs?
Okay, well, it's based on weight.
Weight.
So you take your dog's weight, and there's directions on the packet based on the dog's weight. I actually used these on my dog after he had back surgery, and a friend of mine used them on her dog after the dog had a double knee replacement.
Nice.
So I know. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
As a human, you kind of have the capacity to deal with these issues, but as a dog, you just don't want to get up and run, and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So this eases some of that pain.
It eases the pain,
wow,
inflammation, and they'll chill out, and it's all good.
Is there Treatables. Where do you get these?
You can get them in your local dispensaries.
That's fucking crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
For a dog. What about cats?
I'm sure they work for cats, too. I don't...
Same thing, weight.
Know, it's the same thing. It's all based on weight.
So the cat has this much weight.
Yeah, you give
it this much
dose. Them, like, a half a dose, and... It's CBD.
Cats have problems.
Yeah, old age, arthritis. You know, you're gonna notice a change in your animal immediately. They're gonna have more pep in their step. They're gonna be ready to roll. And we love our companions.
But are you sure they're gonna have pep in their step when they're high?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, it's CBT. They're not gonna be high.
CBD. They're not gonna
CBD,
be high.
CBD. They're not gonna be high. They're gonna be medicated.
Like medicated and happy, but they're not gonna be
tripping out.
Not be tripping.
Okay.
There's no wow. psychoactive.
That's fucking gnarly, man. I never heard this. This is the first time. I'm blown away. It makes total sense. It's amazing. Wow. Very cool. Whoever thought of that is brilliant.
Yeah, they are. I wish I thought of it.
I know, me too. Right up there with Uber. I wish I would have thought of Uber.
Yeah, well, we'll get in on the next one.
We'll get on the next, yeah. So that's it?
That's it.
Wow, man, that's fucking insane. And a lot of people have cats. A lot of people have dogs. And these dogs and these cats, they get old. And you've had some problems with your dogs, some surgeries and some ailments and stuff. Is this something you would want to have your dog check out?
I would definitely give these to my dog. They're safe. They're effective. And
your dogs know you, so they're used to it.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah. Let's go on to music news. And here's another musical ditty.
Lots going on in the world of music. News, news, news from the world of music. Music, 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 music. Music news in your motherfucking face.
That song was written by Bob Dylan. Did you know that, Jess? Bob Dylan wrote that song.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, we got together one night and smoked some weed, and he's like, I'm like, hey, I got to write this song called Weed News, or Music News. What do you got? He's like,
some news. Yeah.
So I was like, just fucking give me the chords. And he wrote it, and it's actually pretty cool. What's going on in the world of music? You have Taylor Swift. She just went through the Grammys and swept and won some awards and had a great acceptance speech. She is helping out her fellow female artist, Kesha, who's going through some troubled times right now. She just had a judge give a ruling against her that she can't record without Dr. Luke's help. And she is getting a sum of $250,000 to her friend, Kesha, in order for Kesha to live and write and record and be an artist. So Taylor Swift, props on you. Massive props on you for giving Kesha this money to live and be an artist. And because what's happening to Kesha right now is fucking super shitty. It's super shitty.
It is. It's pretty fucked up, man. She's got to write like. Did we stop? I think we got to write like six. She's got to like write six episodes. Six more records to actually get out of our contract.
That's fucked, man. And Dr. Luke, this whole situation
this
sucks.
This whole thing's foul. She's been under alleged mental, sexual harassment, and all kinds of things.
It's a mess. We have an alternative opinion coming up.
We do. We have Tim, local Johnny's crew, a local artist, and otherwise crazy person.
I actually do really respect Kesha. She's fun. I like Kesha overall. Like Kesha.
Me too, man. You want to know why? Because I met her in Toronto at a show I played, and I didn't think much of her before I met her, but when I met her and talked to her,
yeah.
I was like, wow, what a cool girl. And then I heard of what was going on,
yeah.
And I was even more, my heart went out to her even more. So I got nothing but love for Kesha.
Yeah, and I'm glad Taylor Swift is helping out. And
I know, it's a lot of money, too. 250 large?
Yeah.
She can afford it. I get it. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, that's like pennies to Taylor Swift. And
Taylor Swift just sold out like how many nights at the Staples Center?
I think. No, she did sell out like every night of her tour this year.
She has a plaque at Staples Center, like a flag hanging in Staples
and
Center.
And Kobe did come up and congratulate her, which is.
With his penis.
Yeah.
Probably. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. That's all speculation.
Yeah.
That, but I mean, you respect Taylor Swift. You also respect Kesha.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm a Swiftie.
You're a Swift. That's what they're called, Swifties.
I think so.
Okay. I like
a
it. Actually.
A Swiftie.
What's a Kesha fan called? A Kesher.
I'm not actually sure about that one.
Let's make it up. How about a Kesher? A Keshi.
Not kosher. That's something else.
Yeah, that's something different. I like a Keshi.
Kesh, yeah.
It's like a selfie, but a Keshi.
I like the Keshi.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
we did it.
We're Keshis.
Let's hashtag that. Hashtag that right now, Tim.
Hashtag Keshi.
Keshi. So no one. It's our creation.
That's 50, our thing.
50. Well, thanks for coming on, bro. I appreciate your opinion. That's great.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, brother.
Very, very cool. Another music news, ABBA, the band ABBA, the Swedish pop band from the 70s and 80s. They have a themed restaurant in Sweden, in Stockholm, which is a Greek restaurant. And it's going to be fucking huge because anything ABBA touches is gold.
Wait, it's a Greek Mamma Mia themed restaurant.
Yeah, totally. It's going to be epic. And I want to fly to Stockholm, Sweden and check it out for sure. I mean, fucking ABBA, right? They have been offered millions, like the Smiths, millions and millions of dollars to reform, and they've said no every single time. And no one knows why. Because, I mean, if they did reform, could you imagine the shows that they could do? They'd do the fucking Rose Bowl. It'd be like football stadiums.
It would be crazy.
I'd go. I'd fucking love ABBA. It'd be epic. And then finally...
You mention the Smiths?
The Smiths have been offered huge sums of money to reform.
Okay. As a matter of fact, today, in 1985, the Smiths scored their first UK number one album for Meat Is Murder.
Wow. Well done, T.S. I wish I had a little. I wish I could clap. Well done. That's a great record, by the way.
It is a great record.
It's a fucking great record. And finally, in music news, a gentleman by the name of Paul Frazier recently purchased a lock of John Lennon's hair for the sum of £25,000 UK pounds. Which is
$35,000.
$35,000.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of fucking money for a piece of John Lennon's hair.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, wow, what kind of disposable income do you have, and what kind of massive Beatles boner do you have? They want a piece of John Lennon's hair.
Okay, this
That's
guy
fucked.
It is pretty fucked, but this dude actually where is it? This guy actually collects hair.
That's creepy, dude. That's like Hannibal Lecter shit.
It's totally creepy. It's total Hannibal Lecter shit.
It's Hannibal Lecter, like Dahmer stuff.
He claims that he also has strands from Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson, President John F. Kennedy, and Justin Bieber.
I wouldn't want Justin Bieber, but Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe would be pretty cool.
Either way,
Michael Jackson.
Either way, it's kind of a creepy hobby.
Yeah, I guess it is a little creepy. And what are you gonna do with it? Like when you is it? I mean, I suppose it's an investment. How do you get it authenticated?
Okay, you can get it authenticated. Absolutely, you'd have to if you're gonna pay that price.
Yeah,
there has to be some kind of authentication.
True.
But what do you get the man who? What do you get? For the man who has everything.
a piece of Michael Jackson's hair. Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, what's going on in the world of sports right now? The Kings are coming off a very disappointing six-game road swing, which they went 500, 3-3. And they're going to be home tonight against the Calgary Flames, a big homestand, which are playing the Sabres this Saturday, day that the 20-year anniversary of the Goldfinger self-titled record. We don't have tickets yet, TS, but we're going to have to find a way to get in that building one way or another. The Clippers are playing great basketball right now without Blake Griffin. There's rumors of him being traded. I say trade his ass because you can get draft picks. You can get utility players. If you're playing this good without Blake Griffin, you don't need him. Kobe Bryant is still going to be retiring at the end of the season. Every time he goes into a new city, they roll out the proverbial red carpet for the guy. I mean, his final season. I suppose they should. And finally, baseball is coming back. TS pitchers and catchers are reporting right now.
They've reported
spring trading. We're weeks away.
It is on.
We're from baseball.
We're getting closer. We've got the first games, spring training games coming up in like a week, in first weeks of March.
I enjoy our baseball trips to the Dodger Stadium.
You know, I'm a little skeptical about the Dodgers these days, but I still...
The shine off the apple for you?
Yeah.
It's not for me. I love it.
We're still going to go. We're still going to be there. We're going to be tearing it up at the shortstop.
So maybe are you lowering your expectations because you don't want to be hurt like at the end of every season like we are?
Yeah, I'm disappointed so often. I'm lowering my expectations.
I think you have to.
Adrian Gonzalez is guaranteed that we'll be back in the playoffs, but it's not enough anymore.
I know you got Kershaw. You lost Zach Greinke to Arizona.
Arizona.
You just got Kershaw. When you have Kershaw and McCarthy coming back, Ryu's coming back.
Ryu is pitching.
Yeah, so we're gonna have a pretty strong rotation. We'll see. But baseball's back, and NASCAR. TS, you watched NASCAR over the weekend, and what's your report?
My God. Okay.
Cars went in circles. That's the report.
Yes, cars went in circles, but it is basically they start they start the NASCAR season with the Super Bowl. It's like the biggest race of the year. And then there's a lot of
Super Bowl's
other
a football
races.
Game, actually. Too.
Yes, yes. The Super Bowl is
not a car race.
I'm equating the Daytona 500 to the Super Bowl.
It's a Super Bowl.
It's an analogy
of races. I get it. I've been drinking. Yes.
So have I. Schlitz on a Tall Boy Tuesday
here at Johnny's Bar. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what NASCAR is all about.
So what races are on the way?
We've got all of them on the way.
The only one I know is the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500. Are there other ones?
There's a lot more races.
There's got to be others.
There's a lot more races. We'll
did
get
Danica
to that
Patrick,
next week.
Did she race?
She did. She ended up in like 35th place. She finished the race smoking hot. Love her.
She is pretty smoking hot. There's some jokes there, but I'll let it go. For the sake of being looked at like Donald Trump, I'm going to let it go. I don't want to look like Donald Trump, so I'm going to let that one go. But yeah, she is a great race car driver, and she is insanely hot.
I'll have more about NASCAR, the NASCAR technology, why NASCAR is awesome later on down the line.
I'm sorry, brother. I love you to death, but it's cars going in circles.
No, there's so much more than that.
Yeah?
Yes, it's racing strategy.
My tires are better than your tires.
No, everybody's got the same tires.
They have the same tires.
It's equal. Everybody's on equal tires. The engines are, it's all to spec.
Because Ford makes an engine, Chevy makes an engine.
Toyota.
Everyone makes an engine.
Yeah. But
drivers are different.
It's all these variables.
Yeah, when it's do you pit? When do you not pit?
Not pit. How many tires do you take? Do you take fuel?
Do you have a bag of Doritos in your car in case you get hungry?
Oh, man.
Do you not have a bag of Doritos in your car?
That's what the corporate sponsors make me crazy.
Do you rub one out halfway through the race because you got a huge like race car boner?
A travel wood. 200 miles of a NASCAR travel wood. Oh, I'm
trying. I got a boner.
Okay. You should rub one out.
I'm going to rub one out.
I'll rub one out right now.
You should rub one out.
Well, this car is sponsored by KY Jelly.
What else is going on? Hey, let's get to some music.
Yeah, let's play some fucking music.
We've never
already.
Played Goldfinger on my show, on the Dangerous Darren show, because I really don't
like
to self-promote very much. But this coming Saturday, the 27th of February, marks the 20th anniversary of the release of our self-titled record called Goldfinger. Very monumentous date. A great record. I loved it. I loved making it. I loved touring on it. I loved the videos and all the things we did that led to Goldfinger's success. And people seem to love that record, and I love it as well. So let's get to a song on that record. This is the most punk rock song on this record. It is a song called The City with Two Faces, otherwise known as Fuck LA. You hear it every week at the end of the podcast. Well, here it is in its entirety, a song called The City with Two Faces, Goldfinger, on The Dangerous Darren Show.
Now don't get me wrong, you're probably thinking we're just some trendy punk rock band jumping on the bandwagon. Like, how many times have you heard me say fuck anyway? 7 to be exact, we still have 4 more to go. Now I know LA's got some beautiful people, it's also got some great bands. No offense, Badgerito. Hell, I owe my life to this city. But I have had more motorcycles stolen here than Nirvana has songs about heroin.
You can't really surf unless you want to get hepatitis. Wait a second!
There here you are, folks. The City with Two Faces, music by Goldfinger on the Dangerous Darren Show, right here on the Adobe Radio Network. The self-titled Goldfinger record came out 20 years ago this coming Saturday, February the 27th. So maybe if you're so inclined, pull out that record, the CD, the tape, whatever you got. Play a couple songs, have a couple drinks, and cheers to the great band Goldfinger. You were there in those days, yes.
I was there. I think I have it on purple vinyl. I'm going to have to play it. I get a few tears in
you
my
should
eye.
Play it, maybe smoke one for me, and I'll have some fun.
I will.
Definitely. What else is going on in the world today?
You know, I had there was some strange news last week that Davey Havoc from AFI and No Doubt, the other members of No Doubt, minus Gwen Stefani, have formed their own another band, a super group, a super punk rock group.
It's called AF Doubt.
That's a terrible name. They'll probably come up with something better than that.
No FI.
But we had Adrian Young on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was kind of hinting that something big was happening, but he didn't give us anything really.
He really couldn't.
Yeah.
There's we're gonna have him on actually.
We're
in
gonna
the
have him on again.
Weeks. He yeah. wants to spill his beans about what's going on with this new project. Davey Havoc from AFI singing with the three members of No Doubt. And apparently I talked to the manager, Pat Magliaretto, who also manages Green Day, and he told me that it's really punk rock.
Really?
It's pretty punk rock.
That's
it's like
awesome.
Hard rocking, but it's also have elements of like synth pop, but synth pop punk rock. Like, I guess it sounds like Blondie meets NoFX.
You know, I was thinking that there would be a little bit of an electronic element in there.
Well, because of Davey. And yeah, he's
I don't
guy.
Know. It's kind of cool. It's now. It's 2016.
I see Davey Havoc maybe twice a week at Crunch Gym on Sunset.
Yeah.
Constantly working out. And he sit, and then I'll see him in the dressing room, in the locker room. And
you're cruising him.
And he dresses exceptionally well. The well-dressed guy.
I toured with those guys back in the day. He's a super cool dude.
Yeah, down to earth, good guy. I mean, he's pretty clean cut. He's pretty metro. He's pretty clean shaven, clean cut, well groomed.
You know, the ladies love him.
The ladies love him, and he's a good singer. So I'm interested to see what kind of music that the guys of No Doubt and Davey will spit out. According to their manager, it's epic. So
yeah,
we'll have to wait and see.
I'm stoked. I want to hear this. I'm excited.
I'd like to give a big shout out and a big thank you to Roland Drums, which I did not give out a shout out at the beginning of the show, for the fat ass drums that they let me use week in, week out of my studio. The V drums, Roland V drums, the kit you heard in the beginning of the show. I laid down a little simple groove on these drums. It's a lot of fun. Also to our friends at Blue Microphones. The microphones you are hearing right now are Yeti Pros, created by the good folks at Blue Microphones. Hit them up on Twitter, at Blue Microphones. TS, if you want to hit him up, he's on Twitter as well, at Burn H Wood Burn. I am at Darren99, and the show is at DangerousD_show. I'd like to thank Tyler Stewart from the Bare Naked Ladies for coming on and providing some insight on the Big Bang Theory. Bare Naked Ladies do music, their tours, and of course, the comedy that only Tyler Stewart can bring. He is an incredibly gifted drummer, a funny guy, and a dear, dear friend of mine, and also music from Goldfinger. Thanks for being on the show. Next week, TS, we have a friend of yours, a band I'm sure you're aware of and that you know. We have Brett Rasmussen. He is the bass player for Ignite.
Oh, yeah. Love those guys.
Orange County hardcore band.
Good times.
Great
good
guys. Times. We've had them on a few times. And I was going to get some music from Ignite off their new record, A War Against You. But we'll probably get the Victory band you want to play, Shattered Sun.
Shattered Sun.
That we're supposed to get to today. We're supposed to do double shot of music this week, but we didn't get to because we're blabbermouths.
Yes, we're filibustering. But next week, Shattered Sun, it's amazing. It's heavy. It knock you on your ass.
And it's off the good folks at Victory Records as well, right?
That's right. Victory
I also
Records.
Like to give a big shout out to our good friends over here at Johnny's Bar. It's an LA staple bar. It is amazing. It's a Monday night. And there's tons of people here.
It's going off.
There's lots going on. It's going off. The address is 5006 York Boulevard in beautiful Highland Park, Los Angeles. If you're on Instagram, hit them up, Johnny's Bar 900. for to the good folks at Johnny's Bar were good enough to host us, and I would like to say a big shout out to them. Also, a big shout out to Adobe Radio for letting us have the podcast on their network, and a good shout out to you, TS. You're a good man.
We're right back at you.
What do we have here?
We have one.
We have a guest, a special guest. She looks frightened. Don't scare the poor girl.
That's right. I think we have.
I'm not scared.
She never gets scared.
She's never scared.
Never scared.
All right, we may have a guest.
We have a guest.
Broncos fan.
Are we going to talk about the Broncos?
I think so.
Is this an impromptu NFL chat?
NFL chat
at the end of the show.
All right. Apparently,
what you hear there is drunk women.
We got to give we got to give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. Let's wrap it up, TS. We're running out of time. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Again, hit us up on Twitter at DangerousD_show. TS is at BurnHWoodBurn. I'm at Darren99. Thanks again for Roland Drums for the V-Drums, Blue Microphones for the Yeti Pros, and Tyler Stewart from Bare Naked Ladies. Next week, we have Brett Rasmussen from Ignite and music from Shattered Sun. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Shattered Sun.
Yes,
Let's do it.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Metal.
Thanks to our good friends at Johnny's, and cheers one more time.
Cheers.
The Johnny's and the Dangerous Darren Show.
Smoke weed every day.
Every single day.
Yesterday, the girl I knew from 1990. Her eyes are hazel, her name is Mabel. I kissed her once and